Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is moving right now in the world and in His church. Just when the hope of many is fading, God is restoring back hope. As the strength of people is failing, God is increasing strength to many. As many are heart driven away from God to sin and unrighteousness, God is calling and raising men and women in righteousness and truth, gathering them from the ends of the earth unto Himself and into His glorious church. God is calling you right now to come and be part of this great move of the Holy Spirit. Join us in Christ in You Glory Church every week on our Sunday Holy Convocation service to celebrate God in praises and worship and to lift up our voice in prayer and supplication. For He hears the prayers of His people. At Christ in You Glory Church, you can be sure that the Word of God that comes through His servant, Pastor Anthony Adeshile, will meet your need. Now, may the Lord grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ in You Glory Church, developing a people of righteousness, a planting of God.
Our Father in heaven, we give glory to You. This is a hour, a time in Your holy presence. And Father Lord, if Your presence is not here, we cannot meet. If Your presence is not here, we cannot say a word. It is Your word that we want to hear, not my word. Father, I must decrease that You may increase. I must not be seen here. You alone must be seen. Your word alone must be heard. Father, by the unction of Your Spirit, let the eyes of everyone here not be on me, but on You, Lord. By the unction of Your Spirit, let the word that is heard not be my words, but Your word. By the unction of Your Spirit, let Your word meet our needs. Let Your word answer our questions. Let Your word prosper. Let Christ be glorified. This we ask in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Quickly, I want to share something with you. And the subject of this message is called, What Hinders Me? What Hinders Me? And if you recognize that that is a question, and that question is particular to an individual, that question is particular to me, so I can ask myself, what hinders me? And you can ask yourself, what hinders you? And as we begin to look into the scriptures, I pray that the Lord will open our eyes of understanding to understand the scriptures. Amen. Because it takes the Lord to open our eyes to understand the scriptures. Praise God. I had, someone met with a clergyman, during the course of the week. And the clergyman, when it was actually in relation to the person who passed away to glory, and the husband said, the clergyman said, when he said, oh, God knows about it, the man said, God did not know about it. God did not know about it. You guys should stop saying God did not know about it. And, when he told me about it, I said, I know the likes of the clergyman. The clergyman is one of those who are ministers because of vocation. I know that there are many in the Orthodox churches who are reverend, who are father, uncle, but do not believe in God. Are you with me? And I told the brother, I said, if you say that God does not know about it, you take away the sovereignty of God. you take away the sovereignty of God. There is nothing that takes place on the shores of this world that the Lord does not know about. Let me tell you something. This woman who passed away, it all started in 2013, October. All right? When she took ill, and then I was taken to the hospital. Now the hospital, she called us, you know, that was during the night before we, you know, went to sleep, and said she was in hospital, we should pray. And of course, we didn't know what was going on at that time. So in the middle of the night, I got up and I was praying, and I really prayed fervently. I didn't know why. And then I went to sleep. When I slept, I dreamt that she died. And the husband was crying profusely, really crying sorrowfully. And as I was waking up, she had called my wife, because, you know, both of them, every day they talked. You know, they were that close, very, very close. She didn't have any other friend. She had friends, but not friends like my wife. And the same thing with my wife, too. And she was saying that, oh, she was about to be taken, you know, for surgery. And I said, let me quickly, you know, speak with her. So I told her what I saw. But God intervened, because as she was being prepared for the surgery, all of a sudden, someone very senior at the hospital came in. I said, what are you guys doing? She's going for a surgery. And I said, what's the matter with you all? She would not come out of the surgery alive. You look at her condition. That was how they stopped it. Are you with me? Now, when I met with her, I think the next day or something, she now told me that at the time I was praying, that was when she told me what was going on in the middle of the night, I recognized that at the time I was praying, she was already going. Are you with me? She was already going before she was brought back. And then we began to pray. After she got out of the hospital, they made the diagnosis and everything. And then early 2014, she had a revelation. And in the revelation, a man in white appeared to her, because that was how, you know, God always revealed things to her. And the man in white, you know, looked at her, you know, and said, don't worry. You are going to be in the hands of NHS until November. That was early 2014. And we began to pray, because we thought, you know, God was going to heal her. That was what we thought. That was what she thought too. And so we began to pray. And, you know, by November 2014, you know, she started a series of treatments. And it's the last treatment, you know, happened to be in the month of November 2014. So we said that was what God meant. She was going to be cleared. And then come 2015, January, thereabouts, when they met with her, the consultants and co, they told her, you know, as a matter of fact, it was more than they bargained for. And they didn't even believe she was going to last 1-2 months afterwards, 2015. But you wouldn't know. She kept on, you know, doing the work of God. She kept on meeting this person's need, that person's need, talking about so and so person, and none of them knew what she was going through. She was oftentimes in pain, and nobody knew about it. Are you with me? And November 2015 came, and there we are. You know, she was still here, you know, because every meeting that we had, you know, like the prayer points meeting every Friday, she would be here, you know. And because she was always very supportive of the ministry and so on. And she was still here until, I think, about August or thereabout. She was here. And that was how she lived her life. So it was just days before she passed on that I suddenly remembered. God told this person November. Could it be that God was taking her? And I shared with my wife. My wife said, oh, I also, you know, it occurred to me too. And there we were. God did take her. What I'm saying is that the sovereignty of God cannot be denied. In everything, God knows. Are you with me? Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts. We want to look at what brought about that question, what hinders me, so that you and I can also appraise ourselves in whatever decision that we need to make. Acts chapter 8. And let's read from verse 26. The Bible says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and said, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place of, in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from him, from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Praise the Lord. What hinders me? First, I want us to look at the man of Ethiopia. This man of Ethiopia, what's so important about him? What's particular about him? And how does that relate to you and I also? Of course, the first thing you will recognize is that the Bible says he is a man of great authority. That's number one. Number two, he had gone on a pilgrimage to worship. He went from Ethiopia to Jerusalem for a singular purpose, to worship. Number three, the Bible says he was reading the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. So if we begin to look at him, we recognize that this was a man who believed that there was a God somewhere, but he didn't know the God. He was a man who was searching. He was searching. He wanted to know God. And he thought that if he went to Jerusalem, he would find God there. The Bible says he went to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Now, one thing that you find is that there are many people who come to the church. That does not mean that they are Christians. More or less, it does not mean that they have met the Christ of the church. Praise God. You can be in this place, for example, or you can, you know, be called a Christian. All right? But if you have not met Christ, who is the head of the church, you know, without Christ, there is no church. There are many churches that we have around, you know, in this world, and Christ is not there. All right? They call on the name of Christ, but Christ is not there. So they gather in the name of Christ, but Christ is not there. But we are talking about, you know, here, for example, where we know that Christ is. But you could be here also and have not, may not have met the Christ of the church. But God knows you will be coming. Are you with me? Just as God knew about this man of Ethiopia, before he set out on the pilgrimage, God knew him. And God knew that he had been searching. And God knew why he was going to Jerusalem. God knew that he had questions. And he thought that if he went to Jerusalem, he would have answers to those questions. But you see, we could find that after his pilgrimage, on his way back to Ethiopia, he sat down in his chariot and he was reading the scriptures. And from what we read, we could understand that the pilgrimage was not really beneficial to him. The pilgrimage left him with more questions in his heart. Praise God. And so he sat down there. And you see, while he sat down there, God knew he would be there. God knew that he was empty. Yes, he was a man of great authority, but he was empty. There are many out there who are people of authority, people of wealth, you know, people of circumstance, people who had fame. You know, there are many out there, all right, who are empty. The fact that one is wealthy does not make him fulfilled. The fact is that there are many people who set that as a goal. I want to be the best doctor. I want to be the best you know, businessman, for example. I want to be like who is this man? Steve Jobs. I want to be like so so and so person. You see? But you see, the moment they get there, they become empty. They become empty because they were searching and they thought that by having the wealth, by having the fame, they would have peace. But they get there and they are empty. Look at Donald Trump, for example. He never thought he was going to be president. He did all he could, messed up a lot of people. Are you with me? But he never thought he would be president. But the moment they counted the votes and he became the president, it was empty. He had no plan. Are you with me? Are you with me? Ambition is what man has. Vision is what God gives. Are you with me? Vision is what God gives. I know that in management, we talk a lot about vision. You know, we talk a lot about vision. I talk a lot about it too. But you see, whatsoever you are driven by outside of God is ambition. Vision has to do with your rules of life. The wife of Manoah and said, you've been barren, but now you will have a child, and this child, you know, will deliver, will do exploits for the Lord, and this and this and this, this child will do. So before that child was born, you must not allow anything to touch his hair. You know, you must make sure that he does not drink. So the rules of life were there, and then the work had been defined. Jeremiah chapter 1 also, Jeremiah, you know, talked about how God met with him and said, young man, no, listen, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Praise God. So this man of great authority was searching. Just as some of you also can be here, you could be here and you have questions. You are searching. You could be maybe in your private, in your privacy. You know, you could have been opening the scriptures and reading. You could have been making your own prayers. And yet, you do not have conviction in your heart. You are searching. You are searching. God knows that you are searching. And that is why you are here today. And that is why this word is going forth today. Praise God. And so that's something about this man of Ethiopia. He was searching. He was searching. There was a void in him. There was a void. And because this month, we call it the month of manifestation. Praise God. The month of manifestation. So you find that in this message, when we talk about what hinders me as a person, I want to look at two men, you know, interchangeably. This man that was searching and the man that was available for the Lord. Are you with me? One was searching. One was available unto the Lord. There are many who could be here today. You know, God might have, you know, something, you know, for you to do. More or less, if you look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, for example, I think it's verse 12. It talks about the God-given task. Okay? Let me quickly open it. The God-given task by which you and I, you know, must be occupied. I have seen the God-given task. If you find it, Ezekiel chapter 3. Sorry, Ecclesiastes 3. Yeah. 3 verse 10. It says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of man are to be occupied. So you see, there is a man-given task. You can even give yourself a task. Are you with me? But there is also a God-given task for every man. The task that you should be occupied by. And if you are not occupied in that, remember the message. You know, the message where we talked about, you know, are you in your post? Are you in your post? The God-given task. You can be in any church. I'm not here to talk about church. I'm here to talk about your God-given task. What God will require from you when you are weighed in the balance. Because everyone will be weighed in the balance. So when God weighs you in the balance, what will be your worth? The God-given task. So you find that a man here was available for the Lord to use. There are many that are not available for God to use. So for example, this man was searching. And in searching, when we talk about manifestation of the sons of God, it means that when a man is searching somewhere, a son of God is meant to manifest by meeting the need of that person that is searching. Are you with me? But that will take availability from that man. And that's why we are going to look at, you know, some of the manifestations from people of God. Amen. So, what hinders me is the question that this man of authority was asking. And, you know, before he asked that question, God saw a man that was willing. God saw a man that was available. God saw a man that was capable. Because it's one thing for you to be available. It's another thing for you to be capable. Are you with me? It's another thing for you to have the unction to do the work. It's another thing for you to have, the wherewithal to do it. On Friday, for example, when we began to pray, we prayed about, you know, God giving us understanding of the scriptures. If you are a man of God, you know, and when we talk about a man of God, you know, it's not just me here that is standing here. All right? Every child of God is a potential before the Lord, is a potential vessel that God can use, that God will use. And everyone here, I want to say that God has a mandate for you. Whether you have come to know him or not, God has a mandate. There is a work that you must do. There are rules of life that you must follow in order to do the work successfully. Listen, Samson had his rules of life, but you see, he did not follow the rules of life. When he got to the age of maturity, when he became independent of his parents, he began to do whatever he pleased. He began to do whatever, you know, was in his heart to do. And his parents tried to warn him, but he refused. Are you with me? So when we talk about rules of life, the rules of life have to do with the standards. The standards that God sets for anyone that will be used of him. The standards that God has set. There are many, you know, who are men and women of God today who do not follow God's rules of life. They follow their own rules. Samson followed his own rules of life. That was why, you know, that was why the enemy caught him. The enemy struck him. Are you with me? And that was why he was able to finish his work early. Are you with me? Praise God. So, manifestation has to do with you being there to meet the need of that person in need. Hallelujah. And that was what Philip did. The Bible says God, by his spirit, an angel actually, spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. Arise and go. Now you find that there are many people that will have the leading of God to do one thing or the other. But because of the work that they do, because of the occupation, you know, the things they are occupied with, in the physical realities of life, they are not able to do according to God's instruction. Are you with me? And each time that happens, there is someone who was in need. There was someone, there will be someone in need, you know, and if the need of such a person is not met, who knows what is going to happen? That person, it could be that the person wanted to commit suicide. Are you with me? For example, years ago, there was a sister that we planned to visit. And, you know, when we set out to visit this sister, when we got there, we knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked, and she didn't open the door. And initially, we began to say, maybe she was not in, because we set the appointment. She was expecting us. And just about, you know, the time we planned, we wanted to turn back and start going, we decided, let's try again. And we kept on knocking. And then all of a sudden, the door opened. And she said, I was about to commit suicide. I was about to commit suicide. And, you know, when you were knocking, I didn't want to open the door. But you see, something pushed me. Something compelled me to go and open the door. And I opened the door. Are you with me? So what if, you know, at the appointment that we set, you know, we decided that, oh, I have to go to that place. Something just happened, you know. I've got to go. There is that business that I don't want to miss. There is this thing that I don't want to miss. Are you with me? What would have happened to the sister? So we are talking about you and I being, you know, sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to the needs that God will have us meet. Praise God. So just as we are talking about what hinders, because also a man that has God's calling, a man who God desires to use, all right, can be hindered also. So just as this man of Ethiopia told Philip, what hinders me from being baptized? You can also apply it to yourself also. What hinders you from functioning in the capacity that God would have you function? What hinders you from being in your post, your duty post? What hinders you from being what God wants you to be? What hinders you? What occupies you? What could be as important as what God would have you do? Praise God. And at the same time, if you are here and you have questions, you have need, I'm also saying that God is telling you that he knows about your coming. He knows about your questions. Listen, this man had a question. And you see, God made sure that he had opened to the book of Isaiah, where the very question in his heart was to be answered. Are you with me? He wanted to know more about the Lord. He did not just want to be worshiping the God or a God that he does not know, he did not know about. He wanted to worship the God that is, the God that was, that is, and will forever be. You also need to ask yourself, do you really believe that there is a God? If you believe that there is a God, then you need to ask yourself again, Do you know the God that really is? Because there are many gods. There are many gods, but there is one God. Do you know him? And when we talk about knowing the Lord, I want to let you also know that you can say you know the Lord because you are a regular member of the church. You can say you know the Lord because you come to church every time and so on. Doesn't move me. It doesn't move me because it does not move God. Turn your Bibles quickly to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Are you with me? "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no what? Widespread revelation." All right? Now, did you see that? He did what? He ministered before Eli. He ministered before the Lord, before Eli. So, Samuel actually grew up in the church. He grew up in the temple. All right? And not only grew up, he served in the temple. But you know something? He did not know the Lord. He did not know the Lord. Listen, let's look at it. Verse 7. Verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know what? Know the Lord. Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." Are you with me here? You can be in the church just as Samuel had been in the temple of God, serving before the Lord. You can be involved in activities. You can be going to church every time. You can be singing praises and dancing and everything and not know the Lord. And may I also shock you? One can be a bishop. One can be a general overseer. One can be archbishop. One can be senior apostle, evangelist, prophet, and have all the titles in the world and not know the Lord. Now, if you have such people as leaders who did not or does not know the Lord, all right, what then happens to all the flock in the church? Knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord. So you can be there and not know the Lord. But you see, until you have an encounter with the Lord, the kind of encounter that Sister Latanya, you know, shared with us. You know, when she shared that testimony with me, you know, the first time when she saw me, she said, "I have a testimony." I said, "Okay, I would like to hear it." And when she began to tell me, I said, "Wow. Wow. Wow." So if you have doubts about whether there is heaven or hell, you've heard. There is. When she shared it with me, I gave her that scripture because it's in the scripture. Hell enlarges his mouth. And many, and do you know what? Many in the church go therein. Because there is no encounter. No encounter. How many places in the church today do you have them talk about it? Have you been in the church where they don't talk about sin anymore? Have you been in the church where they tell you grace, 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 and grace, and it is well. It is well. And then everybody, you know, they believe that it is well until they, you know, sleep and not wake up anymore. And then they find that it's not well. And then there is no repentance. Because the Bible says it is appointed unto man to die once after that judgment. Philip was a man who manifested. How did he manifest? How did he begin? Philip was one of the seven deacons. He was one of the seven deacons appointed to do the work of what? Of the work help us. Amen. Let's look at that, Acts chapter 8. No, it was before Acts chapter 8, when the people were saying that, look, we need, John. Acts chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. All right? Okay, let's read before that. It says, from verse 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. So you see the character. All right? 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So these were regarded as deacons. All right? But you see, there are 2 people there who, after they were ordained deacons, okay? Because you see, a lot of people today, they are in the church and all they want is to be given title. Are you with me? They want to be given title. In our own days, when they call you, when we're on campus, we used to say that, they call you to become pastor or to become an executive member of the Christian Fellowship. And you are rejoicing. I'm sorry for you. Whenever anyone was called into an official role in the fellowship or church, you know what? They cry. Not rejoice, though. Today, people set parties. I am deacon. I am deaconess. I am pastor. They have parties. No. Because you have just been set up. You have just been set up. The lives of people now hang on you. You don't understand that you don't go after it if you are not prepared. You don't go after it if you are not ready. You don't even receive it. If they offer it, you refuse. You think it's just anything? Deaconess, I know that we have them all over now. Deaconess, and we are always happy, to be called deacon, to be called pastor, to be called bishop. Today, if someone is being introduced and you don't name all the titles, they will be upset. Are you with me? But let me tell you something. If one soul is given to you, you will be held responsible for that person. Not to talk of you being appointed deacon in the church, it means that you oversee everyone in the church. Your life becomes the book that is read. They call upon you for spiritual counsel. You have to be praying and do all that you need to do, because God will require from you what you have done. To be called a deacon, to be ordained a deacon, for example, is like you being given a talent by the Lord. You cannot go and bury it. You've got to bring return on investment, or else you will be called the unprofitable servant. Are you here? Are you here? Are you still here? I'm sorry. I could be hard on you, but it's the reality. The reality. How did you think that over the years since we started this ministry, we refused to compromise? How did you think that, we stood firm? Despite everything, Did you think it was, you know, we don't want to become international pastor. That pastor can preach. Are you with me? When you are given a little responsibility in the church, that little responsibility is not little before the Lord. So Philip was a deacon, just as Stephen was a deacon. But look at the lives of the two. Shortly after they were ordained deacon, they went beyond. They no longer became deacons because that was not their rules of life and that was not their work. It was just a stepping stone to their manifestation in their God-given task. You all know the story of Stephen. Listen, the Bible talks about Stephen here. Let's look at it. Stephen. In chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." Are you with me? "Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedman, disputing with Stephen." Verse 10, it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." A deacon who has stepped out of that office to become another vessel of God. They could not resist him. They could not. Are you with me? That was the kind of person Stephen was. How about Philip? Philip also was one of the deacons. But you see, when he was introduced in chapter 8, verse 5. After the church had been scattered through the influence of the likes of Saul, who were instrumental to the martyring of Stephen. The Bible says that then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Listen, in the city of Samaria, through Philip, there was great revival. And the revival, you know, they heard about it in Jerusalem. So much that they sent Peter, one of the apostles, to go there and encourage the brethren. And he went there. When he got there, what did he do? He ministered baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was another person manifesting. But what happened after, as far as Philip was concerned? Shortly after, God said, through the visitation of an angel, "Go to this place." And that was where this man who was in need was waiting. Which category are you? Do you even know why God created you to this world? You can be a Christian all these years. It doesn't matter. But do you know that you are created for a purpose? And for everything, it is for the reason why you were created that God will require from you. Do you even know? Have you even met him? You could be religious, like I said, asking questions in your heart. Who is God? Does he really exist? Does he really exist? How do I meet with him? How do I find him? That was the question in the heart of this man. And the Bible says, when Philip went to the place where he was instructed to go, the moment he got there, the Bible says in verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake the chariot.'" Overtake the chariot. Go and overtake the chariot. Praise the Lord. So you and I, there are many who are sitting on their chariots. Some of them are not just sitting asking the questions. Some of them are really running. Are you with me? If you have a chariot, what does chariot do? Move. You know, a man who is riding on a chariot will be riding using the best, the fastest horses that you can find. Are you with me? So you could have some people who are running very fast away from the Lord. Running very fast away from the Lord. But you see, you can overtake them. You can overtake them because it is not by your human power. Let's quickly look at the book of 1 Kings. I know. Is that the time? Okay. Don't worry. We book an extra hour. You know when I start talking now. Eh? Amen. But I just want us to get to the very place. The very place. So that we will leave this place with all the questions answered. You will leave this place knowing that you have found him. You have found him in the name of Jesus. 1 Kings. This was the time when the Bible says that it will be 1 Kings chapter 18. All right. This was where the Bible says there was a contest between Elijah and all the prophets of Baal. Okay. And the God that answered by fire was God. And who was that God? That's the Jehovah God. The God of all creation. The I am that I am. The God whom we are here to serve. He is the God that answers by fire. And so the Bible says, after God had answered by fire. Now, because there had been famine in the land for 3 years, okay? The Bible says, after God answered by fire, Elijah told Ahab, verse 41, go up, eat and drink, and there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. What do you find here? What do you find here? Ahab, Elijah told Ahab to go and eat and drink, isn't it? But what did he go to do? He went where? The Bible says he went to the top of Carmel, and there he bowed down. When I was talking about you being a leader, don't you understand that you'll be telling people that it is well? As you are telling them it is well, go your way. It is well. What do? You go to your camel. You go to your camel and you are praying. You are praying, God, I have told this person it is well. It must be well with him. It must be well with her. That's why I said the work, you know, when you are called into a work in the church, it is not bread and butter. It is not because I want to be seen. No. Because most of the work you will do is in your closet, where you pray, where you intercede. When someone calls you, she shared a vision, a testimony. Many of the times that, you know, they were going through trying times, what did you think we were doing? Sleeping? Are you with me? So what we are saying is that as a leader in the church, people are before, you are to take them before the Lord. You are telling them it is well. Yes, you it is well. You don't have anything to give them. But what do you have? You go to your knees. And that was what Elijah did. Are you with me? But we are talking about chariots, isn't it? We are talking about chariots. And I said that, you know, you can overthrow the chariots. So let's look at. Bible says, verse 44, then it came to pass the seventh time. And he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel.
Did you see that? Ahab was the king, so he would have the fastest chariots. Are you with me? He will have the fastest chariots. That was what he had. Now, the Bible says he had been instructed to go. So, rain coming. Did you think Ahab would be going slowly? No, he was riding very fast. Very fast. Now, let's look at verse 46. The Bible says, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And he did what? He guarded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of where? Did you get that? Someone was riding on the fastest of chariots. Another man, by the unction of the Spirit, started running, and he overtook the chariots of Ahab and got to Jezreel. Before who? Before Ahab. That is where God is calling you to be. So the question then is, what hinders you? What hinders you from being there? What hinders me from being there? Because I'm not there yet. Am I? Huh? I'm not there yet. You are not there yet. But you should be able to assess yourself. You should be able to determine where you are. Are you in the place where you can say you know the Lord? Are you in the place where you have known the Lord, but nothing else? Where are you? What hinders you now from getting to the place where God will have you be? What hinders you? What hinders me? If there is any hindrance, that is what God wants you to deal with today. God wants you to deal with it now. Don't leave it for tomorrow. So if you have a decision to make, let it be now. Let it be now. If you have been sleeping, you know, let this day be the time that you will wake up. Are you with me? We don't have time, but this is what, you know, the Lord will have me tell you. There is the life of Joseph too. In his post, there is the life of Daniel. You know, but for every man that God used, for every woman that God used, all right, they were willing. They got to the place where God break them down. Brokenness, when you are broken down, you will not think about yourself first before you think about God. When you are broken down, you will first want to do his will. That's when you will say, not my will, but your will. Not my will, but your will. God will want you to go to that place. All right? And you want to go to the other place. You are not going to question the Lord. Did you not understand? Nebuchadnezzar, after God warned him about his ways, about his life, you know, the Bible says, you know, God turned his understanding around for 7 years. And at the seventh year, he looked up. And the moment he looked up, the Bible says understanding returned to him. And what, you know, his thinking faculty returned to him. And he said, God, there is none like you. There is none like you. Before that time, he was the king of the king over all other kings. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. When you have the whole world and a king ruling over all of them, that was Nebuchadnezzar. And he was so proud. But when God showed him what it meant, you know, to experience God, he said, I surrender. You need to get to the place where you say you are surrendering today. If you have not yet surrendered to the Lord, you need to. There is no time. There is no time. People are dying every day. People are dying every day. There is no time. Whether you die when you are 100 years or you die when you are younger, it does not matter.
God does not care about the time that we die. All that he cares about is what we will present before him. When he opens the book of life, what is he going to find about you? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. You've heard the word. You've heard the word. You know, this is not about you. Let me tell you something. Everything that we've talked about today, okay, is about you, something beneficial to you, isn't it? We have not talked about how you can be a multimillionaire. No. We have not talked about how a devil or a demon that is chasing God knows who can be dealt with. No. We are talking about your life. Your life. That's what we are talking about. It is of great value, not just to you, but to the person who gave you the life as an investment. It is of great value. Do you even believe that your life is of value? Do you even know that God knows about those things that you are going through? Do you even know that the times that you cry when you are alone, when you are helpless? Do you even know that God hears? That's why you are here today. That's where you are today. You are here today. And so God is calling you. Don't close your ears. Don't close your ears. I always cheer from Romans chapter 8, verse 30. There is a time that God calls every person that he plans and purposes for. And you are one of those. You are one of God's chosen vessels. And if God is calling you today, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. Respond to the call. Say, here am I, O Lord. Just as Samuel did. I showed you from the book of 1 Samuel, where the Bible says Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So when God called him the first time, he did not even know it was God. The second time, he did not know it was God. But Eli, who no longer had the voice of God, he remembered how God used to talk, how God used to call. May you not be that Eli who will say that I used to, but no longer. Are you with me? He remembered and he told the young man, when you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. You need to say the same thing this morning or this afternoon. Tell the Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. Our Father and our God, I present your people before you, and I pray that you give everyone the heart to make a decision according to your will. So here we are. What is the question? What hinders you? Now, you know how that question, you know, touches you as a person. You know the questions in your heart. And God has spoken about you today. So the question then is, what hinders you? Are you going to make a decision for the Lord today? If you have not yet given your life to the Lord Jesus, this is your time. If you have been hearing about him, but have not met with him, here is your chance. Just as the Bible says, the Ethiopian, Eunuch, you know, gave God time. He says, Philip, what hinders you? I want to do it now. Now, not later. Baptize me. If that is your call. If that is your call. If you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus, you've not done so before. You've not done that, but you've been asking. You've been wondering. Does God exist? Does he? Is there really a God? You know today that there is a God. If you want to make a decision for the Lord quickly, just put up your hand and I'll pray with you. All eyes closed, heads bowed. You want to give your life to... Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. Thank you, Lord, for that sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. After the meeting, we're just going to meet with you and we're just going to pray with you. Amen. The second question, you know what the Lord has been talking to you about. I don't know. But that question, what hinders you? It's you that should be asking yourself, you know, what hinders you from taking that step? Whatever the Lord has been asking you to do. For if you want to make a rededication to the Lord, a recommitment, you want to say, Lord, your will, not my will. Your will, not my will. I want to live my life for you. Listen, you have given your life to Jesus. Fine. Okay? But what we are about here today is you returning to him. You know, wanting to put him first before you put yourself first. You recognizing that your life is just like a vapor. And whatever you need to do, you've got to do it fast. Fast. You have no time to waste. If you want to make that dedication, just quickly lift up your hands. Let me pray with you. You want to recommit to the Lord? You want to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to follow you. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. And whatsoever decision you are making today with regards to your work, your rule of life and work, whatsoever that decision is, whatever God is calling you to do, whatever he's calling you to do, let me tell you something. No man puts a hand in the plow and look back. You can't give God a promise today and you go back on it tomorrow. Let me tell you something. I've not preached about making a vow here before. I've not preached about it here. Because you see, vow is the most difficult thing that a man can make. Are you with me? When you make a vow to the Lord, people talk about you making a vow of money. You know, I don't care about the money. God doesn't care about the money. But whatever the vow. But of course, people make vow with money. But we're talking about the vow that has to do with your life. That's what I'm particular about. Vow that, Lord, I want to do this. Every little thing helps. Every little thing. All the little foxes, the excuses that you give to the Lord. Lord, I want to make a vow today. But be careful. If you are not going to abide by the vow, don't make it. That's why I don't talk about vow. Don't make it if you are not going to abide by it. Because vow, when you make a vow, God will hold you by the vow. You cannot break it. You've got to do it. Jephthah made a foolish vow. He paid. So, if you are going to recommit to the Lord, let it be once and for all. Don't tell the Lord, I'm going to take this step. And then, weeks later, you are giving excuses. Lord, you know. Our dear Father in heaven, here we are before you. We make a commitment to follow you. We understand. Yes, Lord. We know that you are the Lord. Sovereign. Unquestionable. And we know that you know about each one of us in this place. So for the person who has just given her life to the Lord Jesus, we lift her up. And we pray, Lord, that you help her to stand. You help her to stand. Faithful and true. That, Lord, the determination from our hearts will translate into an offering that pleases your heart in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as she meets with you, as she begins a new life in you, because you see, your word says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Now, all things become new. Let our life that is now new be a blessing to herself, to our generation, to our family, friends, and to the nations, in the name of Jesus. And for everyone here, we have made a decision from what we have heard. Whatever the decision that your people has made, help them to stand by it. Help them to be faithful. Help them, Lord, to walk with you to the end, in the name of Jesus. So that when the trumpet shall sound, when the trumpet shall sound, and Jesus is revealed, none of us will be a castaway, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you will keep us in this abiding presence of yours. Help us to remain true and faithful. This we ask through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is moving right now in the world and in His church. Just when the hope of many is fading, God is restoring back hope. As the strength of people is failing, God is increasing strength to many. As many a heart driven away from God to sin and unrighteousness, God is calling and raising men and women in righteousness and truth, gathering them from the ends of the earth unto Himself and into His glorious church. God is calling you right now to come and be part of this great move of the Holy Spirit. Join us in Christ in You Glory Church every week on our Sunday Holy Convocation service to celebrate God in praises and worship, and to lift up our voice in prayer and supplication. For He hears the prayers of His people. At Christ in You Glory Church, you can be sure that the Word of God that comes through His servant, Pastor Anthony Adeshile, will meet your need. Now, may the Lord grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ in You Glory Church, developing a people of righteousness, a planting of God.